can be seen as a kind of time out from your routine, a place to take a break and a breath. Then you go back to your day, renewed. Welcome to Timeshare.
Today, my guest is Reverend Lewis Mandrick, an ordained non-denominational interfaith minister and spiritual coach, trained in Reiki, Integrated Energy Therapy, also known as IET, and recently published author of Spirit's Course in Creating. Lou offers spiritual regression and ethereal explorations, also known as past life regression, to take you on a tour of your personal ethereal realm. Lou is here to talk with us about some of the many topics in his book on creating and manifesting your reality. We'll be taking your calls in the second segment of the show at 609-460-4673, or you can text me on my cell at 215-470-1288. Lou will also have some ideas for implementing philosophies and practices from his book, so have a pencil and paper ready if you'd like to take some notes. Thank you for joining us, Lou. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. I'm so excited to be here. I'm so happy. Thank you.
Pleasure's mine. So let's get started. There's a lot of stuff going on in your book. Thank you for bringing it to us. I have a lot of questions for you. So let's see how many we can get to.
Okay, let's start. Let's do it.
The title of your book is compelling, starting with the first word. Can you tell us what spirit is?
Sure. Yes, yeah, spirit is a term I use for a collective of beings that have come through, mostly angels and spirit guides. The number of them varies in the moment, as we always have all of spirit around us at all times. So whenever you call on your angels or your guides to help you through a moment, or just in your everyday activities, the number that are with you are always varied. It depends, and the reason they're varied is it depends on your needs in the moment. They are here to serve you, to serve us, serve mankind. Their love for us is unconditional. So they're constantly getting the right mix to help you in that moment.
Mm-hmm. Are they helping us now?
Absolutely. I called on many of them, so in droves I asked for.
In droves, and they're all here.
Oh, yes.
It's so good to know, so good to know. Throughout the book, you refer to source. Help us understand your definition of source.
Oh, sure, sure. Source is just another name for God, our creator, anything that, depending on your belief system, that you refer to as your higher being that, you know, as most of us refer to as God. And the reason why spirit gave me that name throughout the book to use is that the term God comes with a lot of connotations, a lot of meaning to each individual that's different from to the next individual, whereas using a different term such as source of unconditional love, source of all energy, of all that is, helps to the reader to imagine the creator or the originator of their particular belief system. So even if you don't have a religious background, religious belief system, and you're purely into science, you could still use source and read this book, and it will make complete sense to you because source might be the origination of all energy that exists. So it's just a name that you could use to replace it with God or Jesus or Allah or any being that fits your belief system.
I'd like to pick up on that just a little bit, mm-hmm. because in a lot of belief systems, you're right, God and has a different connotation, a different understanding in
right.
each one of our religious dogmas. And in some of these dogmas, we see this God as outside of ourselves. Can mm-hmm. you help us understand source relative to what some people understand to be duality?
Oh, sure, sure. That's an easy question with a really complex. I'll try
it. That's what we do here, Luke.
Yeah. All right, we're delving in really quick into the show here. Okay. So there's a couple ways of looking at this. Where to start? Source is where God is all that is. So it depends on how you look at it. Some will look at as God as being within us, and coming from a Christian training, that's what we were taught, that God is in us at all times. That sets up a paradigm that says I am separate from God, that God is a small part of me or a portion of me, whereas Spirit is telling us we are a part of God, meaning that God is all that is everywhere, and we are a fractal of that. That sets up a whole different paradigm, a whole different system, where you can, from that point, it expands exponentially into seeing that, okay, I'm a part of all that is, I'm one with everything else, as opposed to I am separate from you, I'm separate from him, and I'm separate from everything else that exists. So there's two different ways of looking at this, depending on your belief system. But Spirit is telling us we are a part of oneness. We are part of all that is. Is that clear?
That makes a lot of sense, and I would really like to explore that. So we're going to have you back again, and we're going to have a deeper conversation about, because we're understanding that there is a lot to us more than just our physical body, and it isn't so much that God is in us, as much as we are in God.
Mm-hmm.
And we're part of all that is. We are the creator and the creation. Right. But it's really hard to get to that sometimes, depending on what our background is and what we've been taught.
Oh, sure.
And what we've
sure.
been taught. So we're starting to bridge that gap
sure.
between the science of what is and the dogma of what we've been taught. So,
right. Well, you know, talking about the science of what is, I love the Discovery Channel. So I love watching these scientists that talk about fractals and talk about everything being energy down to the smallest components of the atom, meaning everything that exists that we see or is unseen is energy, and it is in constant motion. There's a constant vibration. They've measured the vibration of the universe, and meaning everything that's within the universe is at that level of vibration as a base. So they constantly are talking about our connectedness, and that there are so many areas in science that are paralleling and touching on what New Age is talking about, what spirituality is talking about, and has been for many years. And of course, we coined the term New Age, which is really a repeat of what's been around for millennia.
I always say that we're catching up to the sages.
Yes.
We're beginning to catch up to the seers and the sages.
Exactly.
Okay. Now that we're getting a better idea of the other dimensions of our existence, our other bodies that make up the self, small s in that self, of who we are, can you tell us what you mean by personal ethereal realm?
Oh, sure. The personal ethereal realm is just limited to the experiences of that particular aspect of the astral planes or the ethereal realm that your soul has journeyed. So, you know, again, going back to what scientists are telling us, that we're in a what we call a multiverse now, what scientists refer to as multiple universes. They also are recognizing multiple dimensions and just starting to explore those. Well, they're more than theories now. They're actual scientific evidence of multiple dimensions. So as that part of ourself that you might call your soul or your higher self has explored over time different aspects of that, your personal ethereal realm is just that, what your soul has journeyed. Just as, you know, you have been on this planet now for X number of years, you haven't explored the entire planet in all that its possibilities, but you have explored certain aspects of it, and so that would be your personal experiences, your personal realm within the planet. Does that cover it?
Yeah, I get that. Help me understand then, if we are in our individual experiences, and that's what our personal ethereal realm is, our individual experiences through the millennia as a soul traveler. Mm-hmm. If we are part of the oneness of all that is, something tells me that we have access to everything else that is, even if we haven't lived it in our experience.
Oh, yes, yes.
Is that a topic for another show, too?
Yeah, it certainly can be. And I'll try and give a brief touch on that. But yes, because we are part of oneness, because we are pure energy in a consciousness form that has come into this physical being to use as our vehicle for experiences. That means we have the ability to access information, access experiences from other sources, so outside of our own personal physical experience. And and that's something you could do through meditation. That's something you can do through just calling it forth and saying, Spirit, help me, angels, help me with in this moment. And you can literally call forth some energy level that would help you get through that moment, such as I did before the show here.
Before we sat down.
That's
there.
Right. Before okay. We sat down. Yes.
Okay. I get that. Thank you. Thank you. I found a key teaching in your book to be central to your message. And I love the way you put this too. And that is the process of be, do, have. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Oh, yes. Be, do, have. You know, that threw me when I first started hearing about that and reading up on be, do, have. Because all of our life experience, and I think everybody can relate to this, we have seen in order to be something, you have to have it. So in order to be rich, you have to have money. Okay. In order to be loved, you have to have someone who loves you. And that's what we see. What Spirit is telling us is it actually starts from an energy level, your vibrational level, the level of being first, that is attracting what you then have. So let me kind of walk you through that. Law of attraction says like vibrations attract, or like energy attracts. So in order to have something, to attract it, you have to be that first. So if I'm trying to attract love, if I'm trying to attract a spouse or even with my existing spouse, a level of love that I imagine we would have, okay, or if I'm trying to attract a significant other, then Spirit's saying, be that, be love. And so now all I have to do is, in my mind, create that I am that I am love. And once you get to a point of knowing, which is way past the point of believing, okay, once you're at a point of knowing your love, you start to do that which love does. And once you're at that point where you're being love in a way where you're not even thinking about it, because now it's natural state for you, that's when you know you're a love, and that's when you start attracting love, and you attract the person, or you attract that energy of love from that other person that you want to have a relationship with, or improve your relationship with. So, for example, and I got this image the other day as I was thinking about this this topic, and it was kind of fascinating and blew my mind a little bit. The image was two magnets coming together. So magnets that are polarized in the right way, not repelling themselves, but attracted to themselves. As they get closer to each other, all of a sudden, in a blink of an eye, or faster in a blink of an eye, the magnets join up and they become one. So from our perspective, or Spirit's perspective, we're seeing two souls come together in a flash. And they join up and come together in this union of love. From individually, we see that perspective as we're standing still and that other person is attracted to us. So that kind of blew my mind, because I'm always looking at it from my position of, well, okay, I need to attract money, or I need to attract love, or I need to attract a new position, or whatever it is. But Spirit looks at it from the two of you being equal. So whether it's you and another person, you and a dollar, you and $1 million, in Spirit's eyes, it's all energy, and they're all equal in weight and size and shape and energy vibration, and the two are attracted. So from a spiritual perspective, or from our angel's perspective, there is no difference in size of your desire, from $1 to $1 million, from one person to a community. It doesn't matter. I found that interesting.
Yeah, that takes a lot of work to really get it and to really understand it and see where it goes. Yeah. Help us understand along those same lines, because we've all heard it, a lot of us have heard it, that it's difficult to love another person if we don't love ourselves first.
Oh, absolutely. That is true. I've always said you can love another up to the level you love yourself. And the reason for that is it gets into what we call mirroring. And mirroring says that since we are all one, what you're seeing in the world is a reflection of who you are, or an aspect, a reflection of an aspect of who you are. So kind of reminds me of Wayne Dyer, who said one time a lady came up to him and said, "Oh, I hear you live in Boca Raton. What are the people like there? Because I'm thinking of moving there." And he said, "Well, what are the people like where you live?" And she said, "Oh, well, they're nice, you know, they're friendly." And he said, "Well, that's what you're going to find in Boca Raton." And so it's the same with loving another person. What you see in yourself is going to be reflected in that other person. So if you see a lot of faults in the other person, it's because you're looking inward at your own faults. If you see unconditional love towards that other person, then you're at a point where you're loving yourself and you're accepting who you are. And so a good way of understanding where you are in that paradigm or that continuum of love is, what do you see in the world around you? When you look at your friends, when you look at the world in general, what are you seeing? Is it mostly positive? Is it mostly negative? And that's a good reflection of how you're visualizing yourself. And then that gives you an insight into, okay, I need to work on this aspect of myself.
Mm-hmm. I think it was, it's a quote that's often attributed to Einstein, that you need to be the vibration that you want to create. Mm-hmm. And if you want to create love and attract love, you have to be love. We don't get what we want, we get what we are.
Yes.
And that's an important message. So
I love that.
Yeah, if we want to be with love in someone else, we need to be with love in ourselves.
Yes, yeah. I love that.
I like
Perfect.
That too. Who did you write this book for?
Oh my gosh. This book is for this book is meant to be a life manual. It is for anyone who wants to understand who they are, where they're at, and where they're going, how they are creating, and how they can create what they want in their life. This is information that is not taught in schools. There's so many things that are life helping, life understanding, that we need to start teaching to our younger people. And this is definitely one of them. Just this book explains, Spirit's Course in Creating, it just explains in everyday language what we're doing, how we created what we did. For example, how we, it uses everyday analogies of everything that everyone can relate to, such as, how did we choose the clothes we're wearing today? How did we end up eating the meal that we, our last meal that we had? How did we get to the point of having or driving the car that we drive, or walking, instead, or whatever the situation is? Everyone can relate to some of those analogies. And when you start understanding it, and the book breaks down, okay, this is what happened. This is what you're thinking. This is what you're attracting. This is what you created. Then you can understand, okay, well, if I understand the basic concept of how this is happening, now the book tells you, okay, use this method, this understanding, this process to create what you want. And now here's an example. If you wanted to create this in your life, this is what you would do, these steps. It's very well laid out. And then it starts going into the pitfalls of, okay, well, that's pretty easy to understand, so why didn't I create this already? Well, here's a number of things. You know, what's your core belief of who you are? What are you resisting? And so forth.
So it's a step-by-step manual.
Absolutely, okay. Yes.
So it's Spirit's manual in creating, as well as, of course,
yes.
in creating.
Yes.
Okay, well, this takes me to a little bit of a sensitive area that I never know how to manage, because mm-hmm. other people, as you know, I work with intention, the law of attraction, personal power, all that. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
How do you work with a client who's in a really bad way and help them understand how they created their own situation without them feeling that they are at fault or blame? There's a difference between blame and responsibility. There's a, you know, it's all causality, it's all cause and effect. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have someone who's in a really bad, dire straits, and you can see mm-hmm. what the pattern was, how they ignored their intuition, or they saw the signs and they didn't act on them, or they had a lower opinion of themselves than they had of someone else, and so on and so forth. You can see that.
Mm-hmm.
How do you help your clients see that to the place where they don't see it as blaming the victim,
right.
and instead they see it as a jumping off place so that they can heal?
Mm. Yeah, that there's no easy, quick cure for that one. It's a process that you have to take the client through, and that's a part of coaching, spiritual coaching. So what I do is help through asking questions, and it's not something that, if you know, it's usually most of us can see how someone else is making mistakes in life, and most of us are very quick to judge and say, oh, well, all you got to do is fix this, that, and the other, and you're back on the straight and narrow,
and you're there.
Right. But to the person going through that, it's always about not having, or it's somebody else's fault and so forth. So coaching is all about asking the questions and invoking the response that the coach is trying to get that person to see. And once that person gets the right answers out, it becomes very apparent very quickly.
It's a delicate process.
It is, and it takes some time.
Yeah. It takes some time.
Yeah.
You are listening to Timeshare on PANJRadio.com. My guest today is Reverend Lewis Mandrak, and he's introducing us to his book, Spirit's Course in Creating. I'm your host, Marie Jackson. Please stay with us.